Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, over the last few weeks, we've been journeying through this series on the single life, looking at how to be a contented single person, what to do with unrequited love, how to pursue sexual purity, tips on single parenting. If you've missed any of the series, I do encourage you to go to theopenhouse.net.au and follow the listen again tags, because then you'll be able to download the whole series. We're going to wrap up the series tonight with something for you if you're a single person and you'd rather not be single forever. We're going to be talking about marrying well, finding a person, being the right kind of person to find. Now, there's a reason why we've waited this long until we've tackled this topic, because we wanted to build a kind of foundation of contentment first, rather than just jumping into tips on how to go and meet that special person. Steve and Candace Waters have worked for many years with Focus on the Family on relationships and family issues. Candace is the author of Get Married, What Women Can Do to Help It Happen. Together they've edited the Guys and Girls Guides to Marrying Well. You'll find links to them also at the website. Steve and Candace, it's good to talk to you. Welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you tonight.
Hi, Sheridan.
Hey, you two make a pretty good team, don't you? Between the two of you, you know, Steve looks after the guys, Candace looks after the girls. By the end of tonight, we should have it all worked out.
It's fun to tag team.
Yeah, absolutely. Candace, let me start with you. Why are men and women finding it so much harder and taking longer to get married these days? It's completely different to previous generations, isn't it?
It is. I think they're front-loading their lives. They're being told that they should do everything they need to on the front end, whether it's entertainment and fun and travel or education. They're taking much longer to get through school and then going for the advanced degrees, and then saying, you know, I really need to focus on my career before I can even think about marriage.
Mm. Do you think that's unrealistic, or do you think it's just a good thing, but it just means that the downside is it's taking longer to find a person or, you know, indeed settle down?
Well, I think there are a lot of women who would say that they'd be happy to not go all the way with their career if it meant they could get married sooner. The trouble is there is this pressure to be financially settled, whatever that means, before they take the leap into marriage. And so I'm not sure it is an entirely good thing. I guess the biggest downside is this impression that it's okay to be intentional about everything but marriage.
That's interesting. I think we'll need to explore that a little bit further. You know, we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks about singleness and how it's not a bad thing, you know? We've been looking at celibacy. Yeah. We've been looking at how singleness is a valid path in life. You know, we can tend to err on the side of, you know, you're not complete unless you're actually married. Now, we don't want to go so far that way that we actually forget marriage as well. Steve, give us a rundown as to why marriage is a good thing.
I think there's a natural instinct in us to want a couple, to want to be intimate with another person. Now, there's a difference, however, between being intimate, being close, being in a relationship, and being married. And so what we're seeing is that the health and wealth benefits of being married that have been documented are something that people are saying, well, maybe we can go ahead and get those maybe by living together or just being in a deep, meaningful relationship. But there's still this sense of desire for formalizing that in a long-term commitment, even though maybe people are beginning to have a view of that it's a little further off for them, maybe it's a little harder to attain.
It's interesting that we've, you know, since this program comes at Life, Faith and Culture from a Christian perspective, we've been talking about a statement by the Apostle Paul, who, you know, was very, very keen to say, look, I wish you were all like me, that you were all, i.e. you were single, you could devote yourself to God and to other people in so much more of a focused way. But even he had lots of good things to say about marriage as well, didn't he?
Well, he did. In fact, he said, it's better to marry than to burn if you're not like me at a season of life where you're not as distracted and not thinking about the strong desire to couple with another person and to be intimate with them, then sure, you are able to get out there and take on the kinds of trials and hardships and travel and important work that he was taking on. But at the same time, too, marriage is a good ministry platform as well, that for the Apostle Paul, that was also the Apostle Peter, who ministered in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, in which format are you going to serve God and grow in your faith? Is it through singleness or through marriage?
Mm. This is Open House Across the Nation. We're talking about marrying well, wrapping up this series on the single life, theopenhouse.net.au for the rest of the series and for tonight's podcast. Okay, let's get into some tips on girls, the mistakes that they can make, some advice on how to, I guess, avoid those mistakes when it comes to looking for somebody, and guys as well. Let's start with you, Candace, and some of those big mistakes that girls and women can actually make when it comes to trying to find a partner. Now, number one, you talk about waiting for Superman. Explore that one, unpack it for us, and explain what the problem is and where we can actually avoid it.
I don't know if I would say waiting for Superman as much as I would say waiting for somebody who is in your mind. So you have a list of all the must-haves. And the challenge that I love to give to women is to say, which of those things on your list really do align with Scripture, and which of those are more what the culture is saying you should have?
Mm-hmm. Give me some examples.
And then, well, if you say he's got to be so tall, and he's got to be so thin, and he's got to be this color hair, and these color eyes, and he's got to make this kind of money, and have this sort of degree, and be from my hometown, and know my family. I mean, you could have any number of things that are more on the surface level. And at the same time, you may be discounting guys who don't meet those things but would be a good provider, would be a good protector, would be a good dad to your future children, would be a good spiritual leader in your marriage, loves the Lord. And so to the women who say, oh, I could never date so-and-so because we're just friends, I always like to stop and say, now, why not? Does he have what it would take to be a good husband? And let's start with that. And then you might get some of those superficial things thrown in as a bonus, but don't start with those things because you're going to be disappointed.
Oh, that's interesting. See, some people, both guys and girls, might worry that if they let go of a few of those, you know, little requirements on their checklist, that they're settling or lowering their standards.
Yeah.
Comment on that.
You know, well, we used to talk about settling down, and that was actually a good thing. And now we've raised this issue of not settling to almost a goal in itself. I'm not going to settle. And what we mean by that is I'm not going to take anything less in any category than 100%. And what I'm saying is analyze your categories and make sure that they're really essential. Because some of those things, at the end of the day, you know, looks fade and money comes and goes. And just a lot of the things that we think on the front end are must-haves really aren't essential to a good marriage.
That's really interesting. I think Merrin and I have been together married for 13 years, and I think what we have learned is, you know, if you really pursue marriage with Jesus, with God at the center, it just grows and matures and is nurtured. Now, I think you should actually marry well. You should, you know, you should think about the person you decide to spend the rest of your life with. But really, from a biblical perspective, marriage actually nurtures and grows the longer that it goes on, doesn't it? Rather than, you know, you've got to have this perfect beginning.
That's so true. I would say Steve and I feel very similarly that we are very different today after 12 years of marriage than we were when we got married, and seasoned better in so many ways.
Now, we also need to talk about, since this kind of led to this particular part of the discussion, on this idea of a soulmate, the one who is prepared before time to complete us and to fulfill us. What do you think about that concept of a soulmate?
You know, the problem with that is that it does bring the focus to us, almost like a consumer, this mindset that I'm going to find somebody in the same way that I look for products in a shopping center or whatever. I'm going to find the perfect thing that is made to meet my needs. And we forget that marriage was designed in such a way that you have your greatest fulfillment when you are giving of yourself, when you're laying your life down. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about this idea of men lay your life down for your spouse. And so much of that mindset of I'm going to find the right person almost implies that the situation is going to be so right in how she completes me that I don't even have to worry about what I bring to the equation. And I think that mindset is going to complicate it and also make it harder for people to realize they've got a role in getting out there and making this marriage work and bringing themselves to the process instead of just waiting for it to land on them somehow.
Don't you think, though, that if there is a God, that maybe he's thought about, you know, this person for that person? He has got a little bit of a plan for your marriage?
Oh, yeah.
I do think that, Sheridan, and I look at my marriage to Steve, and I think I can't imagine being married to anyone else. Two thoughts on that. One, I had a professor who said, I don't know if there's a one or not, if there's one person for you, but once you say I do, that person becomes the one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the upside. The downside, the flip side of that is thinking there's only one, if then when you get married it starts to get hard, the temptation is to think, oh, I must have married the wrong one.
Sure.
And the other thing is that I do believe that God ordained our days from the very beginning. But like we find out in a lot of things, whether it's our job or, you know, a lot of the things we're pursuing, he doesn't always hand us the sheet that says, and here's how everything's going to work out.
Mm.
So even though he ordains it, he still has us play an active role in being good stewards of the understanding he's given us to go out and play our part in trying to find out what his will is.
Mm. Candace, another one of the mistakes that you have mentioned about, you know, girls falling into when they, you know, kind of set out to look for a guy to settle down with and partner up with, is this issue of over-independence, which is kind of an interesting concept, really, because in the past, of course, women needed to have men as their providers. Today,
mm-hmm.
things are very, very different, and you think maybe, to some degree, sometimes the pendulum has gone too far the other way.
Well, marriage is all about interdependence. And so if you spend the decade of your 20s and even into your 30s getting to be a pro at being independent and taking care of all your needs and earning enough money to live a good life, and then all of a sudden you're saying, I want to be one with this man, that's a really tough transition. So I encourage women to practice being interdependent while they're single, whether it's in their church body or staying involved with their family or maybe a sort of adopted family, you know, someone who lives close to them, to not cut yourself off from community so much that you forget how to be interdependent.
Mm. This is Open House Across the Nation. Steve and Candace Waters are with us. We're wrapping up this series on the single life, looking at, I know you've been waiting for it all these weeks, now finally some tips on how to find somebody, how to marry well. Okay, Steve, your turn. Let's talk about the mistakes and some advice around those mistakes as to what guys can actually do when it comes to finding somebody. You talk about having a buddy girl and how that can be a mistake. What's wrong with a buddy? Well, define what a buddy girl is first, and then what's wrong with it?
I'd say the easiest way to explain it is a relationship without risk, where you're able to spend some time with someone and enjoy each other's company, but never really have to put your cards out on the table and say, I'd like to see if there's more to this relationship. You just keep waiting until it kind of becomes inevitable. And the thing is, guys need to take risk. They need to put themselves out there, and they need to be willing to crash and burn if necessary. And the reason they should is because if they don't, they can put these women's hearts through a lot of wear and tear of spending time with them when they don't really know what the relationship is, and they're taking these women off the market, in a sense, giving the impression to other guys that they aren't available when they probably are.
Mm.
And so I encourage guys to just not try to hang out and just be buddies, but to put themselves out there. Now, not to say that you can't have a relationship grow out of a friendship. It's just being able to draw clear lines when you're ready to say, hey, I think there's potential here, and I think we should see if there's a potential for marriage.
Yeah. Actually, Candace, you had to give Steve a bit of an ultimatum in this area, didn't you?
Steve and I was Steve's buddy girl, Sheridan. Yeah, we had spent all this time together, and I knew we had a fantastic foundation and thought that our relationship could go the distance to marriage. And after several months of stalling on his part, I finally said, you know, Steve, I want to get married someday, and I hope it's to you, but if that's not where this is headed, then I need to know, because I can't spend time with you like this anymore. I can't be available to you. I can't be your confidant and your friend and your pal, and, you know, we talk on the phone and hang out at the bookstore or go to the movies together. We can't do that anymore. So I need to know where is this going?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's different than popping the question. I didn't propose. I didn't try to take the lead. I just said, will you step up and be the leader? I was asking him to lead. And the key to this is I was willing to walk away. If he had said no, I was serious. I wasn't going to renege and say, well, okay, I'll be your pal anyway. I mean, it was over if he wasn't willing to take it to the next level.
So what have you both learned then about the line between friendship between a guy and girl and the buddy girl where, yeah, it's actually unclear? I mean, where is the line?
I think the line, Sheridan, is very easy. Ask yourself, do I treat him, if you're a woman, do I treat him differently than all the other men? Do I feel differently about him? And for the guys, do I feel differently about her than all the other women I know?
Hmm.
And if it's different, then there's a good chance that it has the potential to be romantic, and you just need to be honest about that.
I'd also say it reaches the point where you really are wanting to spend a lot of time together, and that if you can tell yourself, I am reaching a place where I'm spending hours and hours that I would not spend with this other person that I only consider a friend, but then also, are you saying I want to enjoy all this time, but I also want to keep all my options open? And I think that's the struggle for guys, is that they want to be safe, and so they want to enjoy what they have but keep all those options open. And what Candace was asking, and what I think a lot of other women would ask, is to say, no, I'd like you to close off those other options and pay attention to the one right in front of you and see if there's potential. Maybe there's not, and maybe you can go back to having your options again, but don't try to have a foot in both worlds.
Mm. Steve, we talked about this with Candace with regards to the girls doing this, but actually you talk about the guys doing this as well, over-spiritualizing the idea of finding the perfect wife and kind of waiting for the writing in the sky. You also think that guys need to get out
yeah.
there and kind of do something about it as well.
Yeah, I did that. I was kind of expecting some kind of burning bush that would say, this is the one, now go do it, because that would have simplified things a lot for me. It would have taken out, you know, a lot of the risk that I needed to play. But I think it's one of these things where God calls us to be good stewards. He says, look, I've given you a mind. I've given you people around you to be able to choose from. Now I want you to look around at who's there and see who are you connecting well with, who could you marry and serve me better together as a couple than you do apart. And go ahead and be a steward here. Take a chance. Take a risk. The same way you take chances with work opportunities that you pursue. And that is something that is stretching for us. But I think it's the beginning of demonstrating the Christian leadership role that God's calling men to.
Mm-hmm. Open House is what you're listening to. Steve and Candace Waters are helping us work out some principles on finding the right person, a marriage partner. This is wrapping up our series on the single life. Okay, you too. We've talked about some of the mistakes then. Give us some principles on finding the right person with all of that in mind. You know, one of the things that you both talk about is when you just look for chemistry only, that can also be a bit of a problem. So what should we be looking for, girls and guys, in somebody as a potential marriage mate? Candace, what do you think girls should be looking for?
I think they should be looking for a man with high character, kind, selfless, patient, gentle, really the fruits of the Spirit. You know, is he the kind of man that you trust, who is trustworthy and who is a good steward of all that he's been given? You know, does he use his talents in a way that is responsible? And how does he do with responsibility? And how does he act when he's under pressure and in a difficult situation? I heard someone say it's good that if you have a chance to see your boyfriend get a speeding ticket or how he handles a little fender bender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does he do when the pressure of life is turned up? And is he the kind of man that you want to father your children?
Okay, Steve, what do you think guys should be looking for in girls?
Well, for one thing, I would say look around where you already are, that it's not an accident that you are where you are, that, you know, God has put you in a school, in a church, in a workplace where there is a good chance that someone you could spend the rest of your life with is there. Now ask the question, what is going to be the most valuable, long-lasting aspect of the characteristics of the people around me? And once again, beauty fades in 100% of people, so if you put everything on beauty, then you might get that and only have it last for a short period of time. And if you, same thing on recreation, to say some people are really fun to do a lot of things with, but once you marry somebody, that becomes a smaller aspect of the relationship. And so really what you're looking for is that kind of compatibility that you say, we could be friends for the rest of our lives in terms of having a relationship built on this great connection.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that that's even best when that person has it based on Christian character, where they say, I believe ultimately the marriage is even bigger than us. It's about us laying our lives down and reflecting how God loves people to the rest of the world around us.
I don't know how Marin and I would fare without our joint relationship with God. I mean, it's just if we couldn't sit down and pray through some of the arguments we've had, or some of the big decisions we've actually had to make about moving cities, whatever it might be, together.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know where we'd be. I mean, that is just so essential, particularly for Christian couples, or for a Christian wanting to actually find somebody else, is if you're going to start to think about compatibility, you've got to start with that.
Exactly. I mean, that whole idea of being equally yoked is so important, but it's interesting for how many couples, how low they rank that compared to other things they're pursuing in the relationship, and then they get married and realize it was the most essential thing they should have considered.
Mm. So when it comes to compatibility, so this is a bit of a sticking point for some people, because they kind of go, we shouldn't put too much on chemistry, but there's got to be some sort of compatibility. But what can that compatibility be? Okay, we've talked about faith when it comes for a Christian looking for a life partner. What else do you think could be a basis for compatibility that isn't, again, slipping into that Superman syndrome, or the perfect woman syndrome? What do you think, Candace?
I think another top one is your ideas about children. How many children do you want? Do you want children? How will we care for them when they come? Will one of us stay home? What do we believe about raising them? You don't tend to get into all the nitty-gritty details when you're dating, but I think a high-level conversation about children is essential.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also this idea of what do we feel like we've been called to do in life, and are we as a couple going to be able to bring out the best in each other to do those things that we feel passionate about? And that's much bigger than just hobbies or what's my current job, but it's what is that mission, and can we as a couple achieve that mission better together than apart?
Mm. What do you think about, I'll just touch on a few of these little bits that people often think about, age difference. Do you think that's significant, Steve?
I think it's one of these things that's a reality in a culture where people age differently. And we just had good friends who got married, and the girl was about a decade older than the guy. And then we have a coworker where it's the opposite. The guy's about a decade, or actually I think 12 years older than his wife. And both of these examples, they've really built some great marriages. And so I think it can be blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Candace, financial stability, particularly, say, with the guy, do you think that's important?
I do. I think responsibility, being responsible, and a man who takes responsibility for the finances and says, I am willing to do whatever it takes to provide for you and for our children, to have that committedness to that is essential.
Mm. What do you think? I'll throw that one to you as well, Steve. What do you reckon about financial stability for a girl?
Absolutely. Men are looking for women who are going to be responsible stewards of what the family is bringing together. And really, it's one of these things where it's not how much, but how you handle it. And especially considering that most couples are going to go through a process of starting small and building slowly, that you have this mindset that as a couple, we can trust each other in our relationship, even if we're starting with a very little amount.
Mm. Okay, Candace, similar levels of education or career status. How important do you think that is between a couple?
I've gotten this question quite a bit, and I think what's more important than the degrees hanging on your wall is your level of intellectual interest, because certainly there are people who don't go to college who are very bright and read all the time and are up on current events and able to talk about a vast number of subjects, and then you have people who went to college and spent all 4 years partying. So I don't know that it matters so much what degrees you have, but I do think a similar level of academic and intellectual interest is helpful.
Mm-hmm. And what about career status, or the positions?
Well, I think currently, statistically, women seem to be making great strides in this area, and it's very important to them. The challenge is, as the women go higher and higher in the corporate world, they're finding it harder to find men who are at the same level. And so women have to ask themselves, am I willing to marry someone who maybe isn't as high up on the corporate ladder as I am? If he has the other things, if he's able to be a good provider and he's willing to work so that I can stay home with my children and so forth, that comes down to, I think, what a woman is willing to concede.
Okay, and Steve, opinion of family and friends when it comes to that person that may well be the life partner?
I believe that's something that we've overlooked, that in a day, especially where you can use the internet to go find a spouse, we've overlooked the incredible role that friends and family can play in helping people determine, is this a good fit, or even that we tap into the leads that they have, that they say, hey, there's this person I know that I think you'd be a great fit for. That kinship and friendship network has always been such an integral part of building good marriages, and I think in this generation, we almost have to rediscover it. And that can also mean going to those friends and family and say, maybe you never thought of this, but I'd sure love to have your help in helping me marry well, whether it's any good leads you have, but also great feedback and accountability and support and encouragement along the way.
Okay, Steve, Candace, it's been so good to talk to you. I want you to leave the folks listening to us who are saying, okay, yes, but now give me some practical pointers with all of that in mind, some practical pointers on what I can do tomorrow to put myself in a position to find somebody. Practically speaking, just give me a couple of points each, Steve.
I would say, once again, to look around where you are, not feel like you've got to look far and wide using internet or something like that. Maybe there's a role for it, but there is a good chance that there's someone in your life that you have recognized, hey, there's something there. And I would say for guys to say, are you willing to take it to the next level? To ask this person and say, I'd like to spend a little time with you, or are you available Friday night? And begin there.
Candace?
Well, I would say to the women, go to helpgetmarried.com and hang out on the blog and send me your questions and we'll chat. But practically in their life where they're living, I would say it may sound counterintuitive, but seek out a mentor. Look for an older married woman whose marriage you admire and ask her to have a cup of coffee with you or to go for a walk or a run and ask her about her marriage and how she met her husband and ask if she might have some suggestions that she could share with you and at a minimum to pray with you and to pray for you that God would bring a good husband into your life.
Well, it's just been a joy to talk to you both. I haven't been single for a few years now, but boy, I would have gotten a lot out of that personally. Good to talk to you both. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Steve and Candace Waters, responsible for the books Get Married and also a couple of really, really good internet guides, The Guys and Girls Guides to Marrying Well. You'll find links to those on our website. And Candace was mentioning there the helpgetmarried.com website as well. All part of our Single Life series. If you've missed anything of what we've talked about over the last few weeks, go to theopenhouse.net.au. You'll find the full podcast there.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.